In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, Zoe has a really interesting chat with Lisa McLean, CEO of the Open Cities Alliance. Lisa covers her passion for next generation infrastructure, what that is, and why smart community or next gen thinking is so important. Zoe and Lisa discuss how Lisa sees Australia embracing smart concepts and some of the projects she's currently working on, as well as what Open Cities does. They then talk about the convergence of utilities like water, waste, and energy that used to be separate but that are now becoming more interconnected, and the power of aggregating voices to move government policy, break down silos, and improve integration. Zoe and Lisa finish their chat discussing the emerging trends of the new utility model and the circular economy, as well as prosumers and why we need new business models in the future. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great, Zoe. How are you?
I am super. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you're passionate about?
Sure, I can. Well, my background, I used to be a political journalist. How's that? And then I got involved in the zero carbon economy space. And I've worked on some global campaigns. I helped run Environment Day for England and Wales Environment Agency. And then I was in the founding team to help set up the Clinton Climate Initiative, which was President Clinton's eighth initiative focused on cutting carbon. So I worked out of London for the Clinton Climate Initiative with other cities around the world on programs in mobility and energy and the built environment and waste and water to reduce carbons and catalyze that next gen infrastructure space. So that's sort of my background. And I am passionate about next-gen infrastructure, and I'm passionate about creating a zero-carbon future, which means, you know, it's really circular economics. So it's being able to grow our economy, create jobs, but decouple that from resource use.
What sparked your interest in the smart cities or smart community space?
Well, because of all the work that needs to be done to reform our markets for this new circular economic future, I set up Open Cities a year or so ago, about 18 months ago, and we are a not-for-profit peak association for next-gen infrastructure. So we have lots of members who are in the utility space, so water and energy and mobility and waste providers, and we also have city governments who join up. And we're all about opening up our markets to more sustainable businesses, so recycling of water and waste, local energy generation, shared mobility, and electrification of our mobility, all those essential services. Open Cities is looking to get away from the business as usual and all the things we've been doing in the past. So we want to open up our markets to that future.
Excellent. So what is a smart city or a smart community to you?
So for us, a smart community is a community that can generate its own water and energy. It's a community that is self-sufficient and can head towards climate positive, which is beyond zero carbon, where they can actually, as I said, have excess water and energy. And it's a community that also can pay less for its utility bills. So at Open Cities, we think that people, like pretty much like your phone, where you get free data and free calls, we think that people should eventually have zero cost for water usage and energy usage. They might pay a fee for the infrastructure, but they won't pay anything for the usage. And that's because we've seen a massive transformation thanks to the technological revolution. And we're seeing technologies like water recycling technologies that are the size of a box that can go in your house or attached to your house and recycle almost all of your water needs. We're seeing solar. Australia has the highest uptake of solar ownership in retirees. So we're seeing people being able to generate their own energy and hot water from the sun for free. Yes, they pay for the infrastructure, but the usage is going to be free moving forward. And we're also seeing a whole disruption in mobility where people see mobility as a service, not as having to own that infrastructure. So this is really important because in these smart cities of the future and communities of the future, you can save on the second biggest household expense, which is buying a car, and you can share your mobility instead. So we've got to get ready for this future, and we need legislation and policy and market setting that support these opportunities and these businesses so that you and I and our families and friends into the future can live more sustainably and more affordably.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. And I want to go back and pull out the term you use, next gen infrastructure. Could you explain what you mean when you say that term? Because I think maybe some people don't understand that terminology. However, it fits into the smart city space so well. So can you just explain that?
I think we use the term next gen infrastructure because it's just new ways of doing things. And I think I've touched on that a little bit just earlier, talking about instead of us living in this linear society where we take our water from a dam, rainfall dependent water, fills up a dam, then we pump it hundreds of kilometres into our house and we flush every drop of it down the toilet. Sydney, for example, produces enough waste water to fill its harbour every year, while Western Sydney and other parts of New South Wales are just dry and affected by heat island effect. So next-gen infrastructure is water recycling infrastructure that you can keep it at precinct scale or at a home, in a home. Next-gen infrastructure is solar. We don't need coal-fired power plants. We've got enough solar resource to provide everybody with free energy. We need to pay for the infrastructure, but we've got this opportunity to get next-gen infrastructure instead of investing in carbon-intensive infrastructure. Shared mobility is another example of next-gen infrastructure, and autonomous vehicles as well. These are the sorts of infrastructures and services that we're going to, mobility as a service that we're going to start to see in the future. Using our waste, for example, organic waste, to create local bioenergy, which saves it from being transported hundreds of kilometres, and means that we can, for example, in one study that Open Cities has been part of, it's helped to provide up to 50% of hot water needs just from using your organic waste from your kitchen in that precinct. So that's what I mean when I talk about next-gen infrastructure.
Perfect. Thanks so much for explaining that. And we've already touched on this a little bit, but I will just ask this next question, which is, why do you think that the smart community concept is so important?
It's absolutely critical because, and you know, you can call it smart or next gen, it's the same, because at the moment we are living in a way, consuming services, burning resources, that is totally unsustainable for our global population. By 2050, we'll have 9.8 billion people on the planet, and we cannot continue to grow with the same amount of resource use. It's terribly wasteful. It's destroying our biodiversity and our community for the future. And we don't own those resources. That's our future generations that own them. And so we've got to start protecting them. We have to start ensuring that, for example, we use the waste we produce locally, that we promote more businesses and services that are sharing businesses and reuse businesses that can grow our economy without throwing away everything, which is what we're doing at the moment. And as you know, we've got a major crisis with plastic. Microplastics are now in all of us. They're in humans, they're in fish. And plastic itself, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fish in the next 20 years, next two decades. So we're really at almost a mass extinction point at the moment. So the smart concept and getting smarter with how we live our lives and the infrastructure and services we use is actually urgent and essential.
I think that terminology is really important, not the terminology of smart, but the words of urgent, because I think we think we can just, we'll just adopt some technology and this and that and keep going and doing the things the way we've always done them. But actually, it's not about the tech. It's actually about the thinking, changing our thinking so then we can actually embrace the circular economy and next-gen infrastructure, because unless we change our thinking and stop doing it the way we've always done it, we won't be able to continue.
Absolutely right, Zoe. And I think also government's got a big role to play here because it can set targets and it can control the market and it can sort of say enough. We actually can't keep, for example, flushing all our water down the toilet. We don't need to drink recycled water, but we can use it for 80% of our daily needs. Or, for example, people shouldn't have to buy a car and they don't have to just rely on public transport. They should be able to share their mobility and close to their home. And people should also be able to, as I said to you, recycle their water and their energy and their waste rather, and create energy and from the sun, free from the sun, and pay nothing for their utility bills, usage bills. So this is something that government can also has to play a really important leadership role in, and setting the markets for how our business solutions come to us and solve our problems.
How do you think Australia is currently embracing the smart community concept?
I think it's actually very alive and successful at a city government, a local government level, but it has been really stymied at a federal and state level. And I think we've had a lot of dinosaur-like thinking, support for old business models and solutions that are not sustainable and are not carbon friendly. And I think that transitioning our economy to this bright future, because we can still have a very successful economy, it's just not going to be on coal. And it's not going to be on carbon-intensive resource use. Transitioning that our economy is, there's been zero leadership federally, and we really should have started that journey 20 years ago. So the city governments, however, have actually stepped right up, and we're seeing some globally leading cities in Melbourne and Sydney who are really taking it seriously and making inroads. And again, they did this simply by creating a vision for this future state and then setting targets to get to that. That's how they've achieved it. It's as simple as that.
What are some of the projects and things that you're currently working on?
Well, I touched on the fact that the waste idea that, you know, we're right behind the rest of the world here. You know, the context, China said no to our waste, which is actually a good thing. And now councils are urgently trying to find new uses for their waste and ways to dispose of it that's sustainable and zero carbon. So Open Cities has a guide we're working on called 5 Steps to Next Gen Infrastructure. And it's a playbook for councils on how they can actually transition to get, you know, shared mobility, to get reuse of waste and water and local energy generation. And one of the projects that is very interesting is looking at anaerobic digestion, which is a technology that's well known around the rest of the world. It takes organic waste, so food waste and green waste, and also even sewage from the recycled water treatment, and it converts it into a biogas that can be used in a community for energy consumption. And one of the feasibility studies we've conducted in Sydney at Central Park has seen participating households all gave their organic waste to a local facility just in the basement of one of the residential buildings there, where there's also the world's biggest recycled water facility run by Flow Systems in Brookfield. If people gave their organic waste to that AD facility there, they could get 25% of their energy bill covered by that, generated by that waste, or the equivalent of 50% of their hot water. So that's pretty phenomenal if you think about it. And I mentioned to you before, it saved that waste travelling something like 85,000 kilometres to be put into landfill, where it would have lots of carbon released to the environment. So projects like that that are looking at next gen infrastructure like anaerobic digestion, so waste to energy. And also the other really important thing that's happening in this next gen infrastructure space is that the utilities are actually converging. So water is energy, waste energy too. And we're looking at how we can use water at a precinct scale to provide heating and cooling, how we can use solar spill to provide energy for EVs. So how can we look at all these different utility sectors? How do they converge at a precinct scale to create better solutions for people that are sustainable?
Mm. Can you explain what Open Cities is and what your ethos is all about?
Yeah, sure. So Open Cities, we're a peak association for next gen infrastructure in water, energy, waste, mobility and telco. So our members are companies that are providing sustainable utility solutions, so recycled water, shared mobility, mobility as a service, EVs and solar providers, next gen IoT networks and open shared data networks. So they're our company members, and then we have city governments that are members too, who are looking to implement these services and want to work with the private sector to set standards and playbooks on how they can actually get this kit in the ground.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing.
And we're membership based. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of the great work that Open Cities are doing, and I just want to make sure the audience does as well.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to this next question, because I imagine you'll have to, you know, integrate across the different disciplines and governments and industries. How do you think we can do that integration piece better?
I think it's really come down to aggregating our voices, which is why we set up Open Cities. We're an alliance, so we have peak associations who are also members, along with the private sector and city governments. And I think we all need to create a unified and loud voice for change, because the actual integration requires a lot of regulatory reform, as I mentioned before. So we've got these current centralized, siloed utility sectors and infrastructure sectors of water and energy and waste and mobility. And actually, they're all converging. So we need to change the regulation and the policy around that to allow more exciting and innovative businesses to be able to participate. Because at the moment, they can't compete. They're in very siloed sectors with markets that are closed to a handful of providers, very old business models. And innovators, our next-gen businesses, are finding it really hard to compete. So the integration part is by creating a loud voice and also by changing those policy settings and market settings.
What are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
Well, I think it's this convergence. I think it's the fact that instead of having centralized utility solutions, big command and control pipes in the ground for water and energy and waste and even transport, that actually things are becoming localized, that we can have smaller infrastructure, less intrusive on the environment, more sustainable, that actually gives people more control and lets them cut costs and live more sustainably. And that's a new utility model. I think that's the first thing. And that new utility model is local and light and accessible. It's not centralized and expensive and exclusive. Another trend is circular economy, which sort of sits over everything. So we need to make this transition away from our flush and forget and throwaway society that we have, an economic framework. And we need to start opening up our markets to reuse business models. So, for example, if we're at the moment with our water business, our public water utilities, we take this water from the dams and we just flush it down the toilets and pump it out to sea. Whereas recycling is taking all of your water that you've used from the houses, sewage and wastewater and stormwater and rainwater, and purifying it on site and reusing it for 80% of our needs every day. So these are new businesses, but the market doesn't know how to value the fact that we're using less water. So, for example, the old business models, linear business models, are based on selling water, whereas these business models are based on reusing it and selling less. So you can see we've really got to change our market structures to value those businesses. And the same with waste to energy, and the same with mobility as a service, because if we're not owning our car, then we're going to be needing those costs borne in different ways across the economy.
I think the business model think, or different business model thinking, is really important. And like, what are some ideas that you have to ignite that innovation? Does it come from a government level, or does it come from a startup level, or is it an integration of both?
I think really at the moment there's a big onus on the government to get these markets going, and that means market reforms, so new policies that start to talk about recycling water and waste and sharing mobility. And as I said to you, the city governments are really leading here, but the state government and the federal government are very slow. And I think so we need policy change. And then secondly, we do need more projects in the ground where we can provide data and share that data back to government and the sector and industry bodies like ours, so we can set standards. So I think at the moment is a big onus on the government to reform their markets and policy setting. And by the way, one other trend that I didn't mention is prosumers. Now, this is something we've all got to start talking about. This is our own ability to get free energy from the sun, to use it ourselves as a consumer, and to produce it and sell it. And really, we're going to start to see prosumers, not just in energy, but also in water, because we can reuse our water and then sell it into a grid. And the same with mobility, where we can reuse our car and share our car.
Prosumers, I think I've been looking at this as well, and I think it's a different way to approach things as a not just, you know, buy and I own everything, but if I do have something, how can I utilize that? Because like cars, for example, 90% of the time it's sitting in the driveway or whatever. And how can we utilize that without it inconveniencing us at all, really, but just changing the way we think about owning things and how we can utilize our, I guess, utility and services that we just traditionally set and forget kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Lisa, for coming onto the podcast. It's been amazing to talk to you and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Absolute pleasure, Zoe. Thank you so much for the time.
No worries. I just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
So people can look us up. Open Cities is www.opencities.net.au. And you can send me an email on lisa@opencities.net.au, or you can call me 0488-068-777.
We'll put all the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you. Thanks again, Lisa, for coming on to the Smart Community Podcast.
Pleasure, Zoe. Thanks so much. Take care.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.